And up next, we're going to be speaking to Ann Abbott. Between 15 March and 15 May, more than 750 koalas were killed by helicopter marksmen in Bujbim National Park in Western Victoria. The aerial culling was not publicly announced, and various environmental and animal rights groups have raised concerns about this lack of transparency. Ann is from the Koala Action Team, a volunteer collective for Friends of the Earth Melbourne. Good morning, Ann. How are you today?
Good morning, thanks.
I wanted to remind everyone that Anne joined us earlier this year talking about the Strzelecki Koala Action Team and the work that you guys are doing with the fundraiser. But yeah, we're talking about something quite different today, aren't we, Anne?
Yes, something very disturbing.
Yes. So could you share more about, this happened, very quietly and between March and May, and it was obviously during election season, so there was very little coverage and wasn't much talked about.
That's right. So the Department of Energy, Environment and Climate Action, DECA, state government, shot over 1,100 koalas, approximately that number, from helicopters using snipers in the Bujbim National Park, which is in southwest Victoria. This is Victoria's largest mass koala shooting and probably the first ever conducted from helicopter.
Yes. Yeah, that's what I've heard as well. So why did this happen? I mean, obviously there is the official. So what was the official explanation and what do you really think about that?
Well, the official explanation was that this was humane euthanasia of fire-affected animals and also due to a lack of available food trees.
Yeah.
There had been a fire in the park in early or mid-March. DECA said it was caused by a lightning strike, but some people question that. 20 to 33% of the park was burned, approximately.
Yes.
But it was patchy, about 2,200 hectares.
Yeah, yeah.
And other comments about reasoning from DECA is that the lawn of the land is very hard to get into. It's very rocky, and you can't go in easily by a foot. So they chose to use helicopters and snipers. They also said that it was humane, based on research they'd done. So earlier on, that they'd tried this out and showed that it works, animals are killed outright, and that they can identify fire-affected and unwell animals from helicopters. But this seems hard to believe because if you imagine that a koala is a very small target, it's camouflaged and helicopters are blowing everything around. Expert carers say that you can only properly assess the welfare of koala on the ground with weight assessments and other inspections.
Yeah.
And it's hard to imagine that one shot would, you could guarantee that one shot would kill an animal outright immediately and also any joeys that were with mothers at the time.
Exactly.
And then in this case, they couldn't go in to a lot of the areas on foot to see what had happened to the shot animals, to see whether they were dead or distressed.
So there was no follow-up as well, is that what you're saying?
Well, that's right. They've indicated that that was not possible. So if it wasn't possible to go in there on foot to shoot them, then how could they go in there later on to see what the results of their actions were?
Yeah, absolutely. And you mentioned that there were also reports from locals about what they actually witnessed, is that right?
Yes, because there was no public announcement that this novel methodology was going to be used. It's only the locals that heard all the shooting, like continual shots going for days and weeks, even over Easter, Good Friday.
Yeah.
And apparently someone was tipped off that this was happening, but that's how it got out, basically.
Okay.
It was supposed to be done all in secret, it seems.
Exactly.
So the park was locked down. People weren't allowed in. The roads were closed. There were cameras set up to recognise car number plates.
Wow. Okay.
Fines were threatened. And anyone who actually went in there, according to locals, there were motorcycles, people on motorcycles with hidden identities. You couldn't see who they were.
Yeah.
But they're just going around accosting anyone that was in there. So it was very, it's been impossible to get independent information about what actually happened and why and who made the decision.
Which is
and the impacts, of course.
Yeah, exactly, which is quite worrying because something of that scale, you would want to know. The transparency feels quite important, knowing, you know, what would the, what was the information they had going into this and therefore making this decision, and then also, the outcome of it, if it meant the intended outcomes or what were the other repercussions of it, which I guess we still do not yet know. You've mentioned that there's a few different petitions that are going around at the moment, is that right?
That's right. The public needs to make a noise about this. Yeah. Otherwise, it's just going to continue. The government hasn't ruled out doing this again. And everything that's come out from the government about this that I've seen, it's just paternalistic opinions. There's nothing, there's no data, there's no, they haven't even quoted the guidelines that they've used or shown us how well they've adhered to those guidelines or how good those guidelines actually are. So it's all still being covered up. And they haven't ruled out doing it again. So... yeah, the public really needs to make a stand.
Yes,
and bring them to account. Unfortunately, that this has happened. So various ways people can do this.
Yeah,
there are four petitions. So if you just Google koala massacre petitions, you'll probably find them. But the most important one is probably the parliamentary petition. It's only for Victorian residents.
Okay,
but. If we can get another 5,000 signatures on that before the 15th of July, it will launch a parliamentary discussion and inquiry.
Okay.
Because at the moment, so people are people, politicians, advocates for wildlife, journalists. They're asking for these this information that's missing, but they're not getting it. So the other way to get this information and to take action is actually legal action.
Okay.
And there's a fundraiser for that as well. So it's called Give Now.
Yeah.
And if you just look up givenow.com.au/koalas-crisis, you'll find that. And they're trying to raise $10,000 to $20,000 just to cover the minimum in terms of getting this through the courts. It's a very discounted rate that the solicitors involved have provided, which is wonderful. There's also, I'll just let you know, there's also currently an Australian wildlife road strike public survey. So it's about animal kill. Thousands of animals are killed every day across Australia on our roads. The survey only takes a couple of minutes to complete, and it's based only on your personal experience. But it'll help drive change. We have to change what we're doing or we're going to finish up with no wildlife. The other thing that the government hasn't mentioned in their press releases is the big reasons for this cull, ultimately. So behind the cull, behind that, you've got that we're isolating our animals in pockets of habitat, like national parks. Budgebim is surrounded by bushland and blue gum plantations. So blue gums are just popping up a lot everywhere, you know, particularly in southwest Victoria. And it's a preferred feed tree for the koalas. So they go in there, they overpopulate, and then they clear fell these plantations.
Exactly. There's logging happening, and that was part of that contributing to the koalas moving into Budgebim, wasn't it?
That's right. So, and they do that in a very mechanical way. And there are no regulations to protect our wildlife in these plantations and no independent checks. And although plantations are supposed to leave, operators are supposed to leave a few trees on the periphery of where they've clear felled, they can go back and remove those days later, and therefore there's absolutely nothing left for the koalas. And they have to go somewhere if they survive the actual clear fell process. And isolation of these animals also leads to other problems, such as over eating of the trees in the parks and also inbreeding of the animals if they're just stuck there for a long period of time. So we have to restore habitat that's sufficient to maintain our wildlife in the future and connect it up with corridors. And this is just not happening. There's no overall strategy in this country to preserve our wildlife. We're just exploiting them instead.
Yeah, absolutely. I was also interested to learn that while in Queensland, New South Wales and the ACT, the koala is listed as an endangered species. It's not listed as an endangered species in Victoria. Is that right?
Yeah. Yes, that's correct. And one would have to question that because, for a start, the stressed leaky koalas that we've talked about, only remaining genetically diverse original stock koalas in Gippsland, there's only 2,000 left. That's barely enough to survive for a species to survive into the future. Mm. No specific protections for them.
Yeah.
But across the state, the rest of our animals are called translocated. So they're the result of the big hunting that occurred 100 years ago, where animals were almost made extinct across the whole country, but they saved a few koalas to islands, bred them up, reintroduced them.
Yeah.
But they're all pretty much genetically the same. So these are, and then they were translocated back to the mainland.
Right.
So
these
animals, they're different.
Yeah.
But, and that's what most of our koalas are like.
Yeah.
But there are no protections for them, and there's controversy over how many we actually have.
Exactly.
The government had a big koala survey and the results have been withheld. So we've found that the government tends to overestimate the number of koalas we have, which justifies inaction and continuation of the processes which are destroying them.
Yeah, absolutely. Because
they probably should be listed as endangered.
Endangered, yeah.
But then listing an animal endangered around the country doesn't mean we're going to save them because we have to stop the processes which have made them endangered. And there's so much money behind land destruction for building houses, roads, plantations, farming.
Well, and logging, which is contributing to this issue.
We're not doing that. So even though the animal has been listed as endangered in some states, we're still heading towards extinction.
Yeah.
And we have to change the processes.
Yeah, and we're looking at the systemic issues, I guess. Yeah, contributing towards this. Well, unfortunately, that's about all the time we have for today, Anne, but thank you so much for coming on. You mentioned the petitions and the fundraiser. Is there anything else you would like our listeners, I guess, to jump on in order to support this?
Well, they need to tell everyone. You need to tell all your contacts and let this go viral because at the moment it's just stagnating. It's only a few people driving awareness and calling for action and accountability.
Yeah,
and that's not going to be enough. We need more people, everyone, to get involved.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you so much, Anne. And yeah, look forward to chatting with you again in the future. Thank you for your time.
Thanks so much.
Thank you. We've been chatting with Anne from the Koala Action Team about the recent aerial culling of koalas in Butch Beam National Park. The petitions and calls to action mentioned in the interview will be linked in the show's post for today. So do visit www.3cr.org.au/Tuesday Breakfast for all the links and details.
3CR, your station, your voice.
Did you enjoy listening to that podcast? 3CR is a community radio station, and you, the listener, are a part of that community. Right now, it's our radiothon. We need you to pitch in with a few dollars to keep the station going. We can't do it without you. It's easy. Head to 3cr.org.au/donate. Your donations really matter.